At JCPenney, we make fashion count for everybody and everybody. Get pieces that fit and flatter at prices that feel good. Mix easy on cargos with breezy tops or polish your look with soft suiting. Step into JCPenney brands that get you, like St. John's Bay and Worthington, each in women's petite and plus sizes too. Guys, you're good to go in brands like Mutual Weave, J. Farrar, and Stafford. Style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
It's a lot going on in college sports right now. I don't know if you've noticed, but the NCAA men's basketball tournament began. The women's tournament begins on Friday. I saw somebody actually say, and I'm not saying they're wrong or not, but this is a great time to be a fan of women's sports, but that the women's, if Caitlin Clark is in this tournament for a long run, the women's tournament might outdraw the men's.
Yeah.
I am here for that. I am absolutely here for that. She played in the most watched college basketball game of the year. Caitlin Clark did.
She did.
The NCAA tournament is always different than the rest of the regular season, but she did. She played in the most watched college basketball tournament of the year. And I believe was that on the mothership, Chip Patterson, CBSSports.com Cover 3 podcast moderator. Was that on the mothership?
The Big Ten women's championship game?
Yes. That's why.
Yeah. That's obviously it. It's America's most watched network. It's the network of stars. It's the only place that you get a big.
I'm still blown away that you have your own soundboard.
Yes, I finally got to hear it while we did it. I heard about this soundboard chip. This is awesome.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Graham was here last week when you did it. All right.
Oh, here's a fun thing. Do you remember the tease? Because I don't. Last week, at the end of our conclusion, you teased this week's conversation.
Oh, no, I told you I wouldn't. Okay, I told you I wouldn't. I forecast that. I have no clue what I wanted to talk to you about 7 days ago. I'm sure it'll come up again.
Yeah, I know. My brain is like, you mentioned college sports, the Clemson lawsuit. I just had to turn in a big college football feature on quarterback battles across the country while also working on a feature for the storylines that you need to know for Thursday. I mean, this is cooking my noodle. I tell you what, I'm trying to stretch it in all different ways, but I think I got enough energy to bring it home.
It's too weighty an issue. Right? College sports, I want college sports to be fun. I want it to be breezy. I want to be able to talk about games and this tournament. I do want to talk about this tournament, but let's spend, a minute and a half, 2 minutes on this.
Let's set a timer. All right.
Yeah, we should have a clock. Is there another way to look at this other than, the end is nigh. Florida State's going to negotiate their way out. And Clemson might say, this is not about leaving the ACC. Of course it is. Of course it's about leaving the ACC. That's all it is, which is fine. Feel free. Go if you want. If you can get out and go get more money somewhere, you're not going to get it in this league the way the sport is set up these days. Is there a different way to look at this other than the end is nigh for the Atlantic Coast Conference?
Yes, because I think that's just too big. And I think that like it's too certain and definitive. And we are in the working process of getting to the end game. And I think that even Clemson administrators, Florida State administrators, ACC league office officials, I don't think that anyone feels confident about what this is going to look like at the very end. But a couple things from Clemson's filing did stand out to me. Number one, they are copying a lot of the Florida State playbook. And the Florida State playbook is to say, hey, let's go to a judge in a court and say the ACC's procedures are ridiculous. The exit fee is ridiculous compared to the rest of the country. The grant of rights is more punitive than what the ACC would actually be losing, to which the ACC would also say, yeah, but you signed it. Yeah, but you signed it.
Twice.
That's what's going to happen in that back and forth. But something stood out to me about the Clemson filing. Clemson said, you guys sued Florida State and we never said okay. And I thought that was interesting because Clemson, unlike Florida State, has remained quiet.
Yeah.
Clemson has laid back. Clemson waited for the ACC to step on what its attorneys likely believe to be a legal rake, which is to say, you know, we even said, hey, let's talk about this, or hey, should we take a vote on this? And so to be able to now say to the ACC, like, this is what makes me believe that Clemson found its avenue, is because they were saying, you know, well, you did this without our consent, so now maybe you're the one that's in breach right here. You're throwing everything at the wall just to find something that sticks and to reach a settlement. It's like, yeah, we agree with what's happening here. But yes, Florida State and Clemson do not wish to be a part of the Atlantic Coast Conference for the next phase of high-level college football and high-level college athletics. Whether the end is nigh probably depends a lot more on how much money they end up settling for, whether it is worth it to other ACC schools to stay in the conference and receive those payouts and those monies, and how many other schools would be looking to make an exit, how much revenue could end up coming into the conference from that as well. The only way I'm willing to jump all the way to the end is nigh, like total Pac-12 of the Pac-12 style, is if ESPN and its look and window decides it doesn't need the ACC network anymore.
They
as
won't.
Long as, look, you, that is your prediction.
Yeah, they won't. They won't need it. It depends on who stays, right?
I'm just saying that those decisions are the only way that I'm going to, like, the end is nigh. Like, is the ACC as we know it? Shoot, the ACC as we know it ended in 2004.
I agree with that.
So, I mean, call them.
I don't know about 2004. I mean, adding three schools and the schools they added, you could argue that Boston College was not the smartest ad in the world, and they added probably for the wrong reasons. But I understand why they did it.
Right. If you're going to be romantic about it, don't be romantic about what was the ACC looked like in 2012.
Yeah. I mean, when Maryland left, to me,
sure, okay,
right, that's where now the league was started. No, like, Pittsburgh's a great school. Louisville has great, you know, national following and all of this, local following and national, I guess. But, you know, these are not ACC schools. Right. And even Syracuse is not really in it, not an ACC school. But had they added, you know,
Adam Golden studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuta, Capital Financial Advisory Group. Financial advice industry can be overwhelming for a lot of people. Is there a way to be sure you're getting the best service when you don't know?
Yeah, Adam, it's not just if you gave the money to a planning team and they did good the first year. I mean, anyone can do good for 1 year, but it's a track record and it's a long-term accounts that are very important. We call that a financial fill-up strategy, Adam, and that gives you lifetime income you can never outlive. We'll put together for you, the listener, your very own total retirement plan if you call right now.
Call and claim your comprehensive review with Coach Pete and the team, 888-843-0013, or text Adam to 600-700.
Adam Gold is a paid spokesman. Investment advisory services offered by Capital Financial Advisory Group, a North Carolina registered investment advisor.
You know, I was against Virginia Tech because it didn't bring a new market in. And that's what, you know, Boston College was theoretically bringing the Boston market. It is, of course, like the seventh most popular entity in the city of Boston behind prep hockey. Boston College, if we had ACC hockey, that would have been a great move. But we don't. We don't sponsor ACC hockey. So, yeah, the fabric of the league is gone, which is why I've argued, why are we holding on to Greensboro like you know, 75% of the league gives a damn? They don't. And the league isn't about us, just us anymore. We've already ruined that.
I've been holding on to it because I'm selfish.
Well, yeah, if I was being selfish.
Yeah, my bias is me.
People I can stay home.
Who are you biased for? I am biased for me. I want my predictions to be right. I want my opinions to sound smart. I want everything to be convenient for my travel and family and social schedule. And Greensboro checks a lot of boxes.
It's incredible. I mean, I could stay at home and go to the ACC tournament every day when it's in Greensboro. All right, real quick. I listened to the latest Cover 3 podcast. I like how you were doing brackets based on football. I thought that was awesome. You guys are always super entertaining. But your colleague Bud Elliott on Twitter basically was saying that he wasn't sure that the other schools, the North Carolina, NC State of the world, would ultimately try to get out of the ACC, said because they don't have an interest in competing nationally in football. I don't know how many schools in those other conferences also do, so I'm not sure what it's going to look like. But what is your sense? if Clemson can negotiate their way out and Florida State can negotiate their way out, that North Carolina, Virginia, and others would also, you know, follow out the door.
I disagree with the tact that Bud takes when it comes to that conversation, because he draws a hard line in the sand and he's decided there are only 18 schools that compete for a national championship.
Right.
He tends to believe that if you're not one of those 18, you're just taking checks and losses.
He's probably right.
Like,
you're trying. You're trying, but there's a point to how much you can, how far you can go.
It is so cynical and more zero sum than I truly believe college sports right. is. Like okay. college sports in terms of like at the highest levels, cynical, zero sum. But I don't know, you want to beat your rivals, win your home games, talk trash to your neighbor and the people at your, you know, swim team. And like that, it is more human than zero sum. It is not on a spreadsheet, which is probably why the Bud bot doesn't compute. Okay?
So, right.
I think that's why the North Carolina, and I will say North Carolina because the North Carolina NC State relationship clearly has its own political ties, its own, you know, hurdles to face in terms of the University of North Carolina system. But I do believe that within the North Carolina community, there is a division, even at the leadership level, where there's a faction that believes that you are going to be left behind with this growing revenue gap. And there is a faction that does not want to be the one that brings an end to the ACC. You start talking to people at some of these other ACC schools, say, yeah, you can say goodbye to Florida State. I mean, they were a new kid on the block back in the day.
Yep.
You know, like losing Clemson, like, yeah, that hurts, but you really, you seen what Clemson's done recently? I mean, they kind of had their moment in the sun. I don't really know if Clemson's going to be, you know, that playoff era Clemson forever.
Yeah, it's only the Dabo era where they've done this.
Right. But if you lose North Carolina, it does feel very different.
Holy cow.
that's where I am truly uncertain of which side within the North Carolina community wins that. Because the Big Ten would love North Carolina and the SEC would love North Carolina. North Carolina is arguably the most attractive piece in the Atlantic Coast Conference.
No question about it.
So it's like somebody said to me, one of the most powerful. So like North Carolina's got an interim chancellor right now. Somebody said one of the most powerful people in college sports we don't even know yet because it's whoever's in charge of North Carolina.
Oh, that's right. Whoever takes over.
Right.
For Kevin Guskowitz, who went to Michigan State. I don't understand that move, but it is.
He saw the fight. He saw the fight that was about to happen. He said, I'll tell you what, this is no place for a Switzerland chancellor.
Well, he changed sides, Kevin Guskowitz, and you can at me on that if you want. He used to be, once he started getting paid by the NFL, there was a little bit of a change in position on concussions, which whatever. But I think that's actually what happened. Can we talk basketball?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Did the Chipolitics see Virginia not scoring a point for 13 minutes?
I thought when Tony Bennett talked about he made a mistake at the end of the NC State game, and he seemed to really be taking ownership of that. I thought that we were going to see Virginia show up and really play at least one inspired game, because if Tony Bennett doesn't coach at Virginia anymore and his last NCAA tournament win was cutting down the nets, and then it was just upset loss, and one of the more baffling offensive performances in NCAA tournament history, like if that is the way you're going out, yeesh. No, I did not see it going like that. I mean, obviously Colorado State made everything. I mean, it was like the exact opposite. You know, a team that was already offensively challenged when it came to trying to score 50 points in a game also was missing everything, even the good looks. And then Colorado State was just lights out. So I did not see that happening. No, not at all.
All right. Chip Patterson is with us, as he is every Wednesday. My read on this is that, and I've made jokes at the football committee's expense, because they were very much eye test. right? It, even to the point where saying something as abjectly silly as, you know, we always have the conversation, who would you not want to play? And there's no way you actually have that conversation, because if that were the case, then Georgia would have been the one seed. So you didn't have that conversation. They shoehorned a way to get Alabama in and leave Florida State out. For whatever reason, that's what they did. But had the committee used anything other than the data on the team sheet in front of them, like if they had watched Virginia play, they would have said, yeah, we can do without them. Nobody's going to cry. Like, it'll suck for the ACC because they only got four teams in. But nobody's going to cry that the team that had scored less than 50 points in five of their last nine games and 11 of their games overall, including one under 40. No one's going to cry that that team's not in. Yet they put him in anyway. And, I mean, if, heck, Pitt's a better team.
Right.
Wake's a better team than Virginia. They just didn't have resumes worth putting in, which I get. So
well, this is where I found my angle here. We need to bring back last 10 games. We need, like, 15 years ago, we scrubbed last 10 games from the selection process.
Right.
And that was supposed to make some of this, like, every game counts. But it's leading to bad basketball. It is putting teams into the bracket that are a shell of the team that was logging important wins in November and December, and it is leaving teams out who caught their stride late. And in the modern era, when you're rebooting your roster every single offseason, I understand that we need to bring importance to the early season games, but it just takes time for these rosters to come together and for them to figure each other out. So there were, look, some of the seeding decisions as well, I thought were ones where Florida Atlantic should have been an 11 and not an 8. What a gift for Boo Booey and Northwestern that they're going to be able to catch that team in the first round. You know, when you've got the decisions at the bubble where a team like Pitt that was so much better at the end of the season than it was at the beginning season, or Virginia, the exact opposite.
Oh, my God.
I really think that in the modern era of roster construction in basketball with the transfer portal as it is, then we need to bring a recency bias to the selection process. It was a part of it not all that long ago, so I would like to see that come back.
Yeah, I would too. I'm not sure that that would have taken Virginia out. It might have, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like they lost their last eight. You know, they had, you know, they had a horrible start to the season. Then they won nine in a row, right? They win nine games in a row. They didn't beat really anybody except that one, like, outlier win at Clemson. Like,
no, it was here. It's Florida and Texas A&M.
Right. Those are two good wins.
Those are two very good wins, and they got them both before December 1st. Mm-hmm. Then after that, the only NCAA tournament teams that they beat were NC State, Clemson, and that's it.
Yep, that's it.
That's all of the NCAA tournament teams that Virginia defeated after December 1.
And if we're looking with our eyes, they didn't compete against Duke. They didn't compete against Carolina. I mean, just got absolutely crushed. Actually, they were a little bit better against Carolina because the game was up there. But ultimately, Carolina, I think, pulled away, if I recall correctly. But they were just absolutely squashed by Duke. As it turned out, last time Duke played well. How did the Chippolytics treat North Carolina, Duke, and NC State, and Clemson, if you will? But I have a problem for the Clemson Tigers I'll tell you about in a second.
Okay, so for North Carolina, what an amazing draw. I mean, you're the fourth number one overall seed, and I think you got the easiest number one path. It is the exact opposite of what number one UConn has. Yeah. It is less challenging than what the number one Houston has. And I think that that's, you know, you're talking about the West and the Midwest as the easiest regions. And just specifically to know that the two toughest outs in Arizona and a Baylor, you're not even going to have to meet them until the Elite Eight.
Right.
This is just, it's set up for the Tar Heels. It is set up for the Tar Heels to be on the floor when the money's on the table to get to where they want to be, which is in the Final Four.
Right.
For Duke, I have asked this Duke team to have a response to disappointing performances, and I haven't seen it. I think Vermont is a favorable matchup. I could see them getting to the Sweet 16. It's probably where I've got that team capped right now, just because, you know, John Shire comes out and he gives you this. He's like, we're going to get better. We're going to have competitive fire. And he says all these things, but it message ain't getting home. So not a lot there.
He can't speak that into existence. Real quick, before you get to NC State.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every fan knows the right player in the right position can be a game changer. Put LifeLock between your identity and identity thieves to monitor and alert you to threats you could miss. Plus, with a U.S.-based restoration specialist on your team, you won't have to face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other losses from identity theft alone. All backed by the LifeLock $1 Million Protection Package. Change the game on identity theft. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.
When he said these are things that are in our control, I don't know that they are. That's my against other teams, maybe. But if the other team is better at you than you at the things that you claim are in your control, sometimes it's not. Like against North Carolina, I don't think they're going to be more aggressive, because I think it's more of what they are, the Tar Heels. But I could be wrong.
Do you know what Duke is right now? Duke is the basketball version of like the third best team in the SEC West. They are loaded with NFL talent, but damn, they cannot put it together sometimes. Their power rating says they're one of the seventh best teams in the country.
I know.
Some people use KenPom. Some people use Torvik. Some people use Evan Mia. I've got my own, CP Plus. You can use all the different power numbers, and they all say this is one of the most talented rosters in the country.
Yep.
They should win more games, and they should win by more when they do. Mm-hmm. But they haven't. So I'm not going to ask for it now. NC State, fascinating, fascinating matchup here against Texas Tech. Last game of the day at that Pittsburgh site.
I know.
Okay. Oh, okay. So Texas Tech had a big man named Warren Washington,
right?
Who, if he was playing, would have been a matchup nightmare for NC State. Versatile, 7-footer, good in the pick and roll, good rim protector, good rim runner. But he's been out, and Texas Tech offensively has not had an answer inside against good big men. Hello. We got the game plan right there. You need Casey Morcell to be the kind of on-ball defender that he was on R.J. Davis in that ACC title game. You need Jaden Taylor to be out there ready to go, because what Texas Tech does have is a guy named Pop Isaacs and a guy named Joe Toussaint, and they together are a dangerous 1-2 punch on the perimeter. If NC State can take advantage of what they've got inside and not just be diced up on the perimeter, they might be able to extend this this magical run one more time. And for Clemson, they are in a 6-11 game as the 6 and a betting underdog of almost a whole possession.
Yeah, I think they're in trouble. But here's the reason why. I haven't put this up yet, but I will in a second. Chip Patterson, I'm picking my bracket based on the movies filmed either on or near your campus. I'm picking a movie that is filmed either on or near every campus. And I'm putting that movie against another movie. So the Clemson New Mexico game, and I'll let you say who you would vote for. Clemson Deliverance, which was filmed about 40 minutes away from Clemson. New Mexico, Every Which Way But Loose. Do you remember that movie?
I don't.
Log off, go watch that movie. It's Clint Eastwood. It's about bare-knuckle fighting. This guy, Philo Beto, just goes around from town to town, winning money, beating the crap out of people. And there's an orangutan as a pet. Ruth Gordon is his crazy mother. Oh, it's amazing. One of my all-time favorite movies. Every Which Way But Loose. Got to go check it out.
Deliverance was more of an educational film in my upbringing of just like...
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, just like, just what to be aware of that's out there. Like, you live in North Carolina. We wander off into rural areas sometimes. Just be aware, you know, just... Uh-huh. Yeah. Keep your wits about you, all right? You know, first time I'm like, yeah, me and my buddies are gonna go off into a cabin and party all weekend. It's like, yeah.
This river don't go to Aintree.
Yeah.
Just so you know. Chip Patterson, CBSSports.com, Cover 3 podcast. All right, man. I'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Y'all be well.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.